back in the jail, the Boss Man Show. Here with Coach Wayne Brent of the Jackson State Tigers in Jackson, Mississippi, out of SWAC Conference. Coach Brent, what's up? How you doing? Good talk to you, man.
Man, doing good. I'm great to be on. Glad you could have me. We trying to get back in the swing of things. You know, we missed the whole spring and we missed the entire summer. So we've had our guys back. This is our third week. So we really trying to cover some ground in the 3 weeks that we've had them.
Now, Coach, talk to me about March. I know it was my birthday, March 11th, when everything went down to NBA. And you was probably in Birmingham. So how was that for you and your guys when everything went down in Birmingham at the SWAC tournament and sending them home from spring break probably, them going all virtual? And how was that whole process, Coach, early in the spring here?
You're talking about a very disappointing ending. We had just played Alcorn the night before. We met in the team room. We were getting ready to board the bus, and then we kept getting calls that they were talking about shutting down a lot of the Power Five conferences. So what I did as a coach, I was kind of just moving around real slow because I felt deep down that they were getting ready to cancel everything. So we waited about an hour before we left. We finally boarded the bus. We take off. We get about maybe 5 minutes away from outside of Jackson. And then our AD called and told us to, you know, turn back around and bring the kids back. They had canceled the SWAC tournament. And you're talking about a disappointed group having to break that news to them, the season over with. And at that time, we didn't know that we would be at home that long. So it was a very bad thing that happened.
Most definitely, and you know, I'm pretty sure your academic advisor played a big role in your young men going from on campus to virtual learning. I know you have the blackboard to see what they're doing, but they aren't on their own devices at home, so having to make sure they stay committed to their schoolwork while at home had to be the academic advisor and your assistant coaches had to play a big role, making sure the young men kept the grades up as well.
You know what? I thought our academic people did a really good job with them. I thought our academic coach Woodall and Ms. Glass, I thought they did a really good job of reaching out to the kids, staying in touch with them, because you're talking about trying to get a 18 to 23, 24-year-old to log in and do some work when he's at home. And even though he's not doing anything at home, he doesn't want to, log in and do any schoolwork. So to be able to keep track of those guys, and what I tried to do, I tried to call them, you know, one or two times a week just to check on them, just to make sure they were logging in, to make sure – just to give them some backup, because we knew eventually once we would get back into school and we didn't want our guys being ineligible.
Most definitely. And so, Coach, your guys, I know you're back on campus now. Are they half virtual or half in person? How's that been with them being back on campus for you these last 3 weeks there?
Right now we only have two sports on campus, men and women's basketball, and everything is online. So we don't have any face-to-face classes. All of them are online. So all of our guys are taking online classes.
Gotcha. Now, I know you're trying to get them back in some kind of shape because, you know, when the pandemic and the shutdown, you might not have a hoop where you're at. You might not be able to get out and run like you want to. So how did you manage the strength conditioning portion of a piece of it, trying to keep guys quasi in shape, not where you're having to start over from scratch right now, since you had them back here since late August there?
But what we tried to do, because we missed the summer, in which the summer is the most important part for us, we tried to start off doing the same thing that we would have done during the summer, because even coming back now, we didn't want to go directly to the track like we normally would do, because we didn't know if the NCAA was going to push us back to January or what they were going to do. So we didn't want to burn guys out. That's a long time to start on the track now and try to have 6 months or 5 months of practice before you have a game in January. So what we did, we brought them in and started off slow with them and bringing in different groups. And what we tried to do is whatever we were going to do in June and July, we started doing that in August, just trying to weed guys back in and take our time with them just to kind of get, because, you know, injuries pop up when guys are not in shape. So we didn't want to go full force with them.
Most definitely. And, you know, like you said, Coach, you throw a kid back to the fire 100%. You asking for a knee or a hamstring or something nagging all year long. So thank God, you know, you're taking the approach of building them up. Because I know some guys have gone full bore already. And I'm thinking to myself, and not a great idea for young men at age who've been inactive for so long.
Right. And you like I say, you got guys who didn't do it, didn't do anything in the spring. You're talking about March, April, May, June, July. And then here we are, come back in August. And then now you want me to dive for a loose ball and you want me to take a charge. And it's just not going to happen like that.
You got that right. And now for you now, recruiting wise, I know the recruiting budget probably was looking good because you had Zoom now. So how was the recruiting via Zoom and showing virtual tools of the campus? And is that something you'll keep going forward using the Zoom? I know you're going to see people face to face as well, but will Zoom be a part of your recruiting process going forward?
You know, I hope not. We're going to have a bunch of transfers in Division One because you don't get to know the kid. You don't know who yet. You just, you know, you're talking to him on the phone. You don't get a chance to sit down with him. You don't get a chance to sit down with the family. You basically just recruit them off of your cell phone, off of your iPad, or whatever you have. So, I'm ready to get back out and go sit down with the kids so I can get a better feel. You know, our staff did a great job with what we had with the Zoom, with the cell phone. So we did a great job of bringing guys in. So the talent wasn't a question. The question was, what kind of kid do we have outside of basketball? We don't know the kid well like that. So just a little bit of things that you can pick up by going to the high school or going to the junior college, getting a little bit better feel for really, really getting to know the kid.
Most definitely, because I said, the relationship you build with somebody face-to-face is like so much different than you do it over the phone. And I know for me, the radio show is good to see you guys now without having to do it over the phone. But when you're trying to recruit somebody, you know, for real, it's a little bit different than on the radio side for me.
It's a total different feeling, and I get it. You know, we were in a situation that's what we had to do, so we may do. But it's a total different feeling.
I hear that, the coach. Now, I also want to talk to you about non-conference schedule. You know, coach, you know, being in Atlanta here, you know, I've saw some contracts that schools here have. You know, some of them, if you have Cal fans, it's this number, or if we don't have fans, it's this number. And right. I know for being an HBCU graduate, T at Tennessee State University, you need every dime. Football, right. Men's basketball, women's basketball are the fundraising money for all these schools. And if you don't have a non-conference schedule like you want to, and they push it in the back after Thanksgiving, it's going to hurt the school's budget, because I know from being an HBCU graduate that money funds everything, you know, for the non-revenue sports. So how's it been with you and your the school and the administration trying to make these contracts stick and dealing with legal to make sure you're not getting these COVID clauses all up and down your contracts, man? Because I know those are tricky at best.
Like that's the toughest thing, because we all know that whenever you say COVID, you know, anybody can get out anything. If a kid want to transfer, all they got to do is speak to COVID. If, you know, you want a contract canceled, all you got to do is put it on COVID. So that's a big thing, and that's a touchy situation, because once you apply that COVID to it, there's really nothing you can do. You just got to try to figure out, can we move this contract to next year? Can we make do with what we have right now? Can we spend the least amount of money and just make it through the season till we can get back to where we used to be, you know, in the past?
Now, for you guys being Jackson, you have some options to go play some schools, Power Five, and make some money, really, really on a bus if possible. So if you all looked at maybe trying to get some games with the Power Fives in your area or close to your area that you can just bus there and not have to get on a plane per se and just have to sit there, because I know, like you was talking about off there, like you sitting at the airport for hours, and, you know, that's right. COVID central right there. You know, you haven't been there. So if you guys trying to find ways around this, trying to find games if you don't get to play right in November there, because I know it's tricky for sure.
Yeah, we still been reaching out to local teams or teams in the area. Like right now, we got three guaranteed games that we know we want to keep. That's we go to Mississippi State, we go to Louisiana Monroe, we go to Louisiana Tech. Those are the three games that we really want to keep, because that's a game day trip that where we don't need the airport, we don't need hotels unless we just choose to stay in a hotel. But we could ride over there, play, and then come back. I think the thing that we're waiting on this November 25th date that NCAA is supposed to be voting on. If that's going to be the start, then we know that some teams, maybe like a LSU or Tulane, they may get some of their games dropped, and then they may look for local teams to come in. So that's going to be another option for us, where we got teams like a Northern Iowa, Kansas State, or Iowa State If we miss those games and we can replace them with going to Tulane just for this year, then that's something that we're looking at that just to try to see if we can make that work.
Coach, how happy were you at Mississippi Legislature actually took down the flag? Man, I know this was a big thing early in the summer here. A lot of coaches came to Jackson there to get that done. And how was it to see that the actual vote on bringing that flag down and making your young men and young women complain about Mississippi feel better about that, having that flag flying above their head there?
You know, it's always good to see change. And, you know, the flag was something that was always brought up in Mississippi, is something that people always talk about. So to see so many coaches use that platform and come together, whether black or white, whether Ole Miss, Mississippi State, whether Mississippi Valley, Alcorn or Jackson State, just all the schools in Mississippi coming together with the same cause. And for our athletes, you know, just to be able to sit down and talk with them and get them to understand what the flag actually means or what people have gone through in the past, and just coming up with a flag that everybody in the state of Mississippi can be proud of.
And, Coach, I know with the whole social justice unrest in the country with the pandemic and then the killings of unarmed black people, how did you approach that with your team? You know, you're HBCU coach, and most of your players will be black. So how did you approach that with your young men over Zoom this season to make them understand the gravity of what goes on? That once you take off your jersey, you're just Jerron or Antoine, whoever. You're just a person. You know, you're Wayne, I'm JR. We take off our Jackson State or my Atlanta Hawks gear. So how did you break that point to those young men? You have to be very vigilant and you have to move a little bit different, unfortunately, in our country, even in 2020.
No, the thing that we try to talk to our guys about, and we talk to them all the time, you know, unfortunately, you're going to come into some situations, and all policemen, all law enforcement guys are not bad, but you got your few out there who take it to the extreme. But we talk to our guys about trying to do the right thing, trying to comply when they ask you for your license, make sure you give it to them, make sure you don't say anything back to them. And I mean, we tell our guys all the time, you'd rather go to jail for a weekend than to get shot and killed, you know, and your life is over. So some of the things you can't control, but the things that you can control, try to control them and just try to do the best you can and try to do what's right. And hopefully at the end of the day, then everything will work out.
And Coach, you've been pushing. I know a lot of coaches have told me about it, pushing their guys to register to vote this time around because voting's so important right now. So I talked to young men about getting involved in the civic process, being civically engaged and getting in the voting process, because we've learned now that local elections matter, state elections matter. Most not just the federal, but local state affects you every day. I know here in Georgia, you know, I see that we had another governor, we wouldn't have what we have right now. So I can know what so it's like, you know, how are you talking about men about who you elect locally and statewide affects you more so than what happens at the federal level, sitting in the House up there and the president?
I think you just kind of talk to those guys each and every day. And it doesn't have to be doing basketball practice. You know, even when you're just talking to a guy, just shooting a bull, when you're getting out of a weight room, you know, sometimes you just throw it up and make, you know, jokes out of it. But, man, you got to make sure you go and vote. And a lot of kids don't know why. You know, some of them, you have to educate and you have to talk to them about why it's important to vote, because some of them feel like it's a waste of time, or some of them feel like even if they vote, then it's not going to change anything. So that's the mindset. You got to constantly, you know, be talking to them about just getting out voting and understanding what people went through to give us opportunity to vote.
Most definitely. And that's what I got for you, Coach, is who is some coaches and people in the business and who's really helped mold you as a man to make you become a coach you are today? Because I love to hear people who really inspired you to get into coaching and how you decided to get into this business. Because I know when you're a coach, you affect so many people's lives for a lifetime. So who helped you get in this business and who inspired you to want to be a coach?
You know, I think the people that inspired me were the people that I could touch. And when I say that, my middle school coach, Coach Jesse Sutton, he coached at Blackburn Middle School. And I knew then that was something that I wanted to be in athletics. And then I went on from Blackburn to Provine High School, where I played for Grady Dawson. And those were the two that I really could touch. You know, you always had the John Thompson, the Nolan Richardson, who you see on TV, but sometimes you're not able to directly touch those people. So from afar, yes, they are role models, but the ones that really touch your life are the middle school coach and the high school coach, are the coaches that coach you at the boys club. the girls club or somewhere down the line, or even on AAU teams that have an impact on your life. And those were the guys that really had an impact on me, was the boys club from first grade on up, and then going to Blackburn and going to Provine High School. Those were the guys who really had played a major role in me wanting to be a coach.
Coach Brent, it's been great to catch up with you for the first time on the show, man. We got to do this again down the road. I enjoyed it, Coach, and best of luck to you and your team. And I'll be watching you guys really close, man, this year.
All right. Appreciate you having me.
And for the entire floor, that's Wayne Brent on the Boss Man Show.
My heart skips skipping the beat. You're not close enough, so that space between you and me, let's lose it. The way you're dancing, swaying to the music. Girl, that body and how you move it. Every time you cross my mind, girl, I lose it.
Alexa, play the Country Heat playlist.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you're gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Going to UMES, the Hawks, talking to Coach Jason Crafton out of the MEAC Conference. Coach Crafton, what's up, my brother? How you doing, man?
Boss Man in the house. Eastern Shore Hawks are in the house. Happy to be here, man. This is our second time doing this. I love everything you're doing. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Most definitely, Coach. Let me ask you, man. I know you was probably in the Norfolk area around my birthday, March 11th, when everything went haywire. I was at the Hawks game, and then I got the word that, hey, things get suspended, and, you know, we ain't had the Hawks since my birthday. So how was it for you and your guys, man, up there, man, in Norfolk for the MEAC tournament, having to go from that to going on spring break probably, then going virtual, and then, you know, then everything is shutting down. So talk to us about your team and how you all handled that whole quick transition from being together to being apart.
You know what? It's been a long journey here, and it's been something that's extremely been challenging for everybody. You know, not just for, you know, our players and you know, administration, but also just the basketball world. You know, I think our guys have done an incredible job of staying locked in and staying focused, and most importantly, you know, finishing strong in the classroom academically. We're happy to have around a 3.1 team GPA in the springtime, which was exciting to see our guys push through and do extremely well and finish like that academically. And then we were unable to have them up in the summertime because of the COVID stuff. You know, some schools were able to bring kids up, but we were not able to. So we had to do some things over Zoom calls and try to be as creative as we can with FaceTimes and things like that. And now we're back on campus and we're going through a process of testing and all those types of things. And we're looking forward to being able to get back on the court and get these guys moving again and getting back to some basketball.
Most definitely, Coach. You know, I know it for your seniors and guys who won't be back with the roster, it's probably hard for them to know that their careers ended that way. You know, they didn't get to go out on their own terms there. And so what would you guys kind of do for your people who are not returning to the team after last season to kind of get them a send-off the proper way the best you can via the virtual way because you couldn't be well together?
Yeah, you know, we did some our campus did a nice virtual graduation that was pretty cool. We still had our awards and things like that that we kind of did virtually. So we did some things on social media to still kind of announce our MVP and AJ Cheeseman, you know, our coaches award and Gabriel Genfi, one of our toughest players last year. And then we had our rookie of the year to Deshaun Phillip, who also made all rookie for the MEAC as well. So we try to be as creative as we could to still keep the guys engaged. But it's time to get back and start playing some basketball. And I think, to try to do it in the safest way possible. As we jumped on, I was showing you, we got all different types of masks and whatever we can do. We got our paper masks. We got our hard masks. We even got our masks to say tenacity on them.
Man, you got to send me one, Coach. You got to send me one of them masks, man. I want one of them.
Whatever
I like that.
We got to do to get this thing going again, we're excited to do so. It hasn't been easy, though. But the interesting thing about it, Boss Man, is every coach you're talking to is going through some type of hardship or dynamic with this transition. So we embrace the challenge, and we look forward to getting back to basketball.
Now, Coach, for your young men, I know when they was at home, they may not have a hoop. They might not be able to get out to a gym and work out to shut down. So you and your strength coach and staff have probably sent those guys the virtual workout. So how is that going to keep your young men in semi-shape? They might not be in full basketball shape when they get them back on campus now, not having to start from scratch knowing that November 25th or December the 4th is not too far away.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we've had our kids here now for about 4 or 5 weeks, and we've just been going through the process of they're going to undergo their second testing this weekend. I'm happy to say that our campus only had 23 positive tests overall out of 3,000 in the first go-around. So when we kind of get through that second wave of testing and our guys get a negative test, that will actually be their third test. So hopefully – they got tested before they came back. They got tested in the first week, and now we're getting tested now. So when we start workouts, we'll have had every guy tested 3 times. With that being said, regardless of anything that they did prior, it's going to be an acclimation period of everybody readjusting. You know, so we're going to be very cautious and very careful, and particular in terms of how we just return them to activity. And it won't be something that we just rush into. It'll be something that we do in a very thought-out process.
Well, Dale, because you know you get a kid jumping back into something right after all months in activity, that's a knee, ankle, quad, hamstring waiting to happen. It's going to nag forever. Because I know me being in my 30s, I go back out of my corner of my backyard. If I ain't stretched out good enough, I know it can be some little nagging situation down there. So, man, I feel you, man. Get them kids that slow burn back into it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic. You know, I have a player development background in terms of, you know, being with the 76ers last year and doing some player development and working in the G League. So I was a part of a lot of return to play scenarios for some guys, you know, coming from injuries. So and that's kind of been my, you know, thing in terms of player development, in terms of just bringing guys back. So now this is, we don't have guys returning from injury. We have guys returning from a pandemic, you know, and not being able to train effectively. So, you know, we have to be strategic in how we do things. We, as coaches, we have to have a feel for not being too aggressive to start, you know, and allowing guys to be able to get their bodies back to a place where we can re-engage in contact and being aggressive with them coaching-wise. There's certain things that you're used to doing that you're just not going to be able to do in these initial 4 to 5 weeks. And we understand that.
And Coach, for us that with COVID, how do you stress to your young men that you have to say no to things you want to say yes to? Because I know they want to be around their friends, go hang out, go to the mall, go on a date or whatever, being 18, 24 years old. I know how it is. But, you know, how are you told me to say no to things you want to say yes to? I know for me, being in my 30s, I'm going to say no to stuff I want to say yes to because I don't want to bring them back to my family who may older than me, who may get some. So, you know, how are you trying to stress to the young men that no is okay right now and yes will come down the road?
Yeah, you know, we just I applaud our guys. They've handled this very well so far. I think we try to keep them informed. There's so many universities that are suspending their students for breaking the COVID rules. You know, this is something that every campus is going through. So it's not just my campus. So when I'm talking to my kids, sometimes as athletes, if you put restrictions on them, you know, they look around and they see the regular student doing things and they get, you know, tempted to do things. Right now, you've got an entire nation that's got strict standards in place during this COVID time right now. So when you see kids breaking those rules and you see students getting suspended or having their scholarships, you know, in jeopardy because of breaking those rules, I think it's allowed our kids to see how serious it is when they've seen other students, student athletes or regular students contract the virus and have to get quarantined. So I think our guys have been locked in. We've also coordinated having some early morning breakfast times to make sure we get them up. We see them in the morning. We make sure they're doing well. because a lot of classes have been virtual now, so they're not as much, you know, walking around campus during the day. So we try to get them up in the morning, make sure they get breakfast, and then at nighttime we swing by and we do some curfew on select days, almost like if it's the night before a game, you know, and just make sure they're in their dorms and not kind of out in the street. And our guys have bought into that, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to, you know, produce a bunch of negative tests, and hopefully we'll knock these tests out this weekend and be able to get back to play.
Now, Coach, how recruiting go for you? Trying to recruit via Zoom, were you able to expand your reach, not having to go out on the roads, and you can get, talk to a guy via Zoom, get a virtual tour of your campus, maybe getting on some guys you wouldn't normally get in on because you don't have the budget to go out there and see them, or however that may go. So, how did the virtual recruiting go? I know you want to have that relationship with a guy face to face, but the Zoom may be an extra additive to the recruiting process going forward here.
I think the Zoom recruiting was interesting. I think everybody had to find a comfort zone. You know, for me, being a guy that's very relationship driven, used to going to the gym, seeing the kid practice, seeing the kid play, you know, spending time with the coach that coaches him, and now having to do it all via FaceTime and Zooms, it put us in a scenario where we had to be very intentional with, you know, creating different, you know, technological advantages and ways to kind of, you know, expose guys to being able to get a feel for our campus, get a feel for our coaching staff, and get a feel for what we're trying to do here in building this program. With that being said, I think we created some great relationships with some solid prospects that we were able to achieve to come and get commitments to come to Maryland Eastern Shore. And we're excited about the seven new guys we brought in. Most of them had opportunities to go other places. And I think they, you know, we were able to find a way to get them to come to Maryland Eastern Shore. And they're happy to be here, and we're happy to have them.
Most definitely. And you know, also, Coach, I want to talk to you about the non-conference scheduling because, you know, Coach, being here in Atlanta, I know I got a lot of – I got 2-5 Power Fives right here in my back door. So I've seen those contracts. I know what they loaded with them COVID clauses. You know, they're going to give the school this much if it's no fans, or this much if it's fans and travel. So yeah. With the season maybe pushed back to November 25th or December the 4th or whatever date may be, I know I've been HBCU graduate myself, that you need to make football, men's basketball, women's basketball. Basketball is the moneymakers for everybody on the HBCU athletic plane. So how are you and your university working in case these contracts are loaded and you can't play certain teams? And how's that going for you guys right now? Going with you got to raise money no matter what, but how are you going to go about it with these contracts being loaded where they are right now?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting time for everybody in that regard. And, you know, for some schools that have football, to miss out on football money and basketball money can put a major dent, you know, in your finances. You know, but we're very fortunate that, you know, we don't have football here. And I say fortunate because we're not losing out on any football money in this coming season. MEAC came out with a statement a few weeks ago that gave each institution the ability to either choose to play non-conference or choose to not play non-conference. So right now, I think the stance for our program is from our administration is that we're very focused on our conference season right now, not as much on the non-conference, and we're looking forward to gearing our guys up and being ready for whatever conference season we'll have starting in January, and then also seeing what the NCAA is going to do and announce in the next few weeks in terms of what the basketball season is going to look like.
Now, Coach, for you, man, you know you're HBCU head coach with a lot of young black men on your roster. So how have you been talking to young men about what's been going on with in the country with racial injustice? Social injustice has been going on with a lot of young black and male men and women getting killed in the hands of the police. I know your young men are probably like, you know, what's going on, Coach, and looking to you for guidance. So how's those talks been via the Zoom and FaceTime, trying to get those young men to understand that, hey, let's check off that basketball uniform. You're just a black man in America. You need to kind of watch how you move and how you go there.
Yeah. I think one of the cool things about being at an HBCU is, you know, our guys are already kind of in the know on some things. You know, it's, you know, they have a feel for what's going on, you know, via things that we do with our guys, but also interactions that they have on campus, in the classroom, in the community, at an HBCU. So it's a great time to be at an HBCU because you've got a lot of variables and a lot of parties that are assisting with you educating your players with this type of stuff. Our SAC, our Student Athlete Advisory Committee, is doing something where we're going to get all of our student athletes registered to vote in the coming weeks. So that's something that we're driving to do. And then we've had some Zooms and some one-on-ones and just had some great interactions and some positive feedback and educational stuff with our guys, just in terms of, you know, how to handle themselves in those situations if they come about. conversations we've always had, but now they kind of like, hey, coach, we get it now. You know, yeah. We see it more in a higher light. You know, pull your pants up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, look people in the eye, you know, and just how you carry yourselves and, you know, how you articulate yourself and different things. We can do everything perfectly and still it go wrong. You know, so just trying to educate them and just trying to give them the best chances to be prepared to go out there in the world and to face some of these tough things and knowing that we can do everything the right way and it still might not go our way. And that's the unfortunate reality that we live in. But I think our guys are motivated and they're getting out there and they're having a voice. We're excited to see that.
Now, Coach, for you, you know, last year was year one, 4 years, and going to year two. Now, so talk to me about how'd you get into kind of working to that job year one now? You're getting comfortable with the job and a college coach now and going to year two. So talk to us about your journey from getting hired to where you are right now.
You know, it's been a grind, of course, as you guys know. You know, just we talked last year just in terms of trying to build this program and what we inherited it, which was, you know, something that was not, you know, in a great place. So, you know, I feel like we've made a lot of strides. We were, you know, for a large part of the first semester, we were top 15 in the country in steals per game. We finished in the top four in defense in the conference. We broke the record for block shots at Maryland Eastern Shore. So in a season, we put a kid on an all-rookie team, and we had a lot of guys that, you know, dynamically developed from their previous year to this year, to that past year in terms of just individual improvement. So we felt like we created a great foundation, and then COVID hit, you know, and that threw a wrench in some things and kind of created a tough dynamic for us to kind of like piggyback off of what we built and then make some strides in the spring and in the summertime. So with that being said, you know, I think we've created some foundational things, but, you know, getting to this preseason right now, whenever that starts, we really got to kind of get back to work in some areas to solidify what we built in that year one to be able to start gaining some traction. With that being said, it's still going to take some time.
Now, Coach, I'm looking at the MEAC conference, man. You guys are top to bottom tough now. I hate that you're going to lose three members here in next year. But, man, I think the conference is in great hands, great coaches. And, you know, there's no easy outs in the MEAC each night. So how was it going through that first MEAC grind of last year, man? Because I know from top to bottom, the coach in the league, man, it's never easy night in that conference for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, being a coach and going into my 18th season now and I think it's something that's on the streets coming up, you know, coaching at Villanova, coaching at the Naval Academy, you know, Division II for a while and then being in the G League last year. A lot of people always talk down about the MEAC, you know, talk about the talent, talk about the coaching and all those types of things. And I can tell you firsthand, being in this thing, it's elite talent in this league. I think it's overlooked. There's elite coaching in this league. And I've got a ton of respect for all the coaches and the players and everybody, all the schools in this league. It's a grind. And we look forward to continuing to recruit and get talented guys and to be able to compete and ascend in this conference that I think is a league that is definitely on the rise, is definitely taken for granted, you know. And I think if you didn't have programs having to play so many money games, our league – That's the only thing that keeps our RPI and our strength of schedule and all that type of stuff. If we once schools continue to raise funds and back down on the money games, this league is just as comparable and competitive as the America East or the Northeast Conference or some other leagues out there.
Well, Coach Crafton, we know it's definitely support. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, Coach. No, I'm gonna support you guys. I know you need the support, man. And I this is my thing. I'm gonna cover you all for the right reason, not when something bad go wrong. You know, a lot of times I want to cover the HBCU when something bad go wrong, when something happen. So you know, my thing, I'm gonna cover you for the right reasons. Being an HBCU grad myself, Tennessee State, so I gotta make sure that I give you guys the love on GP, not because you know we want to cover a story to get some clicks here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. ESU, baby. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, Frankie Allen, you know, that's – I went to his basketball camps when I was a kid. So, Coach Allen's my guy, man. So, I know he pops him around sometime.
Frankie does our color commentating for our home games, does an amazing job, has become a mentor for me. I've known Frankie from back in my Naval Academy days when we used to play. Maryland Eastern Shore. He's a good dude, man. He's around the way here, and we talk often.
Coach, when you get off the air, man, text me. I ain't talked to him in years. Coach, I was at your camp when I was like 5 or 6 years old, man, in Tennessee State. So, you know, because my mom's in Nashville, so I'll be in the summertime. So I would go to his camp. So I've known him for years. I was like, that was my guy. I was ball boy for the guy, too, in the overseas tournament. So Frank Yell is a guy I respect a whole lot.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, Frankie's a big supporter of Hawk basketball, him and his wife. Stay in Princess Anne still, and he's around often.
Well, Coach Crafty, my brother, hey, keep fighting the good fight, man, for the Eastern Shore Hawks. Man, I know you'll get that thing turned around real, real soon and make the MEAC be scared to come on the Eastern Shore for real, man. I know you're going to get the job done, my brother.
Well, hey, man, if we can get back to playing and we can get some fans, you see behind me what this thing can look like at full capacity. You know, we've got a great arena, great facilities, great fan support. In a local area on the Eastern Shore that's hungry for a winning basketball program. And we're going to deliver it to them at some time in the near future as we build this thing. So appreciate you, boss man. Looking forward to seeing not just this show, but all the great things you continue to do in the basketball community. Appreciate your support.
Anytime, Coach. Jesse Crafty on the Boss Man Show from the Eastern Shore Hawks out of MEAC Conference.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our teen driver safety program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting or Twitter at Coach TWill24 or Instagram Travis L. Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-607. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Boss Man Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, illstreetrex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush. Vicky, who is that? An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky, he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.
All right, folks, back here on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, a buddy of mine, the coach of my alma mater, TSU Tigers, Brian Penny Collins. Penny, my man, how have you been, my brother?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Living this Nashville life is what I like to say now. You know, everybody in Atlanta and Cali and New York say that Cali life. We living that Cashville life up here, man, in the middle of COVID right now, but it's all good.
Man, at least your cases are going down up there. Down here, we still acting a fool. You know, we got pool parties and clubby concerts and stuff. I'm like, what are we doing here? At least it's better up in Nashville, I think, from what I can read.
Yeah, it is trending in the right way, man. But we were trending in the right way before. We just got to stay that way. That's the main thing.
Most definitely. Well, Penny, you kind of guys were kind of lucky. Because, no, on my birthday, March 11th, I was at the Hawks game, and the season was suspended. Lucky the OVC plays the tournament the week prior to the week everything went down. So you was already at home. Maybe guys already on spring break. So how did you guys as a staff and as a team handle the whole COVID crisis having to go home and become virtual and still give everybody's grades up for the spring semester? So how was that for your team, man? Thankfully, you already got through playing. But, you know, how was the whole process for you guys?
It was hard, man. It was extremely hard. Well, you were all right. We were done with the OVC tournament, but we got invited into the College Insiders tournament. We were actually hosting the first round. So we were practicing still. We were getting ready for that. We were very excited. The first round of the tournament was the John McClendon Invitational, which was a former Tennessee State great, and we were hosting that game. We were anticipating a huge crowd because our students were still here. So we were really excited about that game, man. We were really hurt that we didn't get a chance to play that game. So from there, man, maybe 3 or 4 days after that, the students got sent home. So once our students were sent home, it just basically was full time monitoring our guys academically, which was something that it was very hard to do because usually when you got a guy in online class, it's only in one class, maybe two, and now their entire semester was online. So I was pleased to say we had a very good semester in the spring. We had a lot of guys that had over 3.5 GPA, and we ended up having a really good spring semester. But it's definitely some unprecedented times, and we're still going through them right now in the fall.
Most definitely. And I know the academic advisor you guys have has really played a key role because, you know, guys, we can say they're at home, they're on devices. You can't punish them as much because they're not going to class. So you got to make sure you're keeping them young men on task. And 3.5 GPA, man, is a great thing. And, you know, I think, Penny, you know, you've been a young black man like myself, man, has those young men as an example. It really makes them guys be inspired to do good because of seeing a guy like you successful as their head coach.
Well, yeah, you know, we not only myself, my entire staff, we try to be role models for our young men and show them how to be good fathers and husbands and brothers. And make them understand about, we got this slogan that we live by called deserve to win. And every day we try to hold ourselves to a higher standard and hold them to the same standard. So we don't take that for granted, and make sure we understand every day we're walking in purpose.
Most definitely. And, you know, Penny, through these trying times we've had with, you know, the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Rayshard Brooks right here in Atlanta, Ahmaud Arbery, how have you used this time to build the Zoom to keep your young men engaged civically about what's going on around them, and to know that, hey, once you're off the basketball court, you're also a young black man in America, and to carry yourself as such, with, and knowing that, hey, you got to do everything the right way, and even still, it could end up negative for you, but at least try to make sure you're alive and come back to your team and to your parents and to your family.
Well, we talk about it religiously. We always communicate about things that are going on in the world. I always like to, for my guys to be able to voice their opinions to me. I encourage them to educate themselves about everything that's going on. And if they have something positive to say, then I want them to say it. And as long as they're educated and know what they're talking about, I want our guys to talk about it. We've also been doing training in terms of what to do and what not to do when you get pulled over by police, what to do if the police show up to a party, and how to be compliant and doing the right things, and understanding the laws, understanding what rights you do have. So we do a lot of role playing and things of that nature. But, you know, the things that are going on in the world, especially right here for the in the Black Lives Matter neighborhoods, and the things that are in the protests that are going on, and are something that the Tennessee State men's basketball team, we talk about all the time. So as a leader of our program, I want to make sure our guys understand the importance of it, of equality and right versus wrong.
Most definitely. And I feel like, you know, being at Tennessee State, the HBCU school, which your place, most of them are young black men, that you have even a bigger role to play because you're coaching our young men, you know, at our HBCU school. And thankfully, being at Tennessee State, they can get the guidance of people that look like them, you know what I'm saying, rather than you can another school. And I think that helps young black men understand what they're up against, because a lot of people who are not walked in our shoes can't tell us about our experience and our walk. And being at Tennessee State, you can have somebody that has been in that walk already, can lead you and make sure you don't go on or keep on the right path, not hit that wrong path and go down the wrong way. So I feel so blessed the guys are at Tennessee State can have you, a lot of people out there who can help them on this journey of life.
Yeah, you know, for being at Tennessee State, we get asked all the time, like, well, what are some things we're doing to help prevent some of these things that are going on in our neighborhoods? And, you know, the main thing we do is we communicate and listen. Those are the two key things right now, listening more than actually communicating, listening to our young men, listening to the pain they've been through and some of the injustice they've been through, and giving them an ear. And then putting a plan of action together. But some of the things that are that some of these other universities that are PWIs are going through, and they feel it right now. In this little moment, they feel it right now. We feel it every day.
Most definitely. And, you know, I think also the civic engagement piece of it as well, getting them registered to vote, because this is a big election. A lot of coaches have been, especially coaches for change with Carmen Massarello and all those different organizations, are making sure that players and their teams are registered to vote. So how have you went about trying to get them informed about the election coming up, getting them registered to vote, those who live outside of Tennessee, and getting them mail-in ballots? So how have you all been going about making sure your young men are registered to vote for this election here in November coming up?
Yeah, another one of the most important things we talk about, one of my assistant coaches is actually in Coaches for Change. So we use their search engine to make sure that all of our young men on our team are registered to vote. So every single player from our team, 1 to 16, is registered. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do leading up to that November 3rd election.
And you're also a part of Embrace Us. So tell us about that. My man Brian Burton told me a lot about it as well. So I wanted to make sure I give you the platform to talk about the organization, what you got going on in Embrace Us.
Yeah, well, it's something that I started along with some friends of mine who originally we wanted it to be a coaches association that is going to be basically an engine for change and somebody that transforms, empowers, and promotes the people in our community and things of that nature. But as we move forward, we realized that we could be so much more than just a coaches organization. So We ended up adding all types of different people from different levels of sports, from the NBA to the media, to administrative, to faculty people, to head coaches, assistant coaches. We have a lot of different people and embrace us. And we got some really good things coming down the turnpike that are going to create some massive change.
Well, if you need any help, brother, let me know. I'd love to help you out, man. Just let me know. I'm in. You know, like you say your word, I got you, bro.
I appreciate it, man. I know you in.
Now, Penny, talk to us about some of your guys, man, you have coming in new this year, man. Year two last year, man, I saw the improvement you guys made. You had those guys playing very, very well, like you said. You've been to CI Scholarship Science Tournament there. So talk about some guys you have returning and some new guys you want the people of Atlanta to know about on your roster down there, man.
Well, you know, I was excited about this year. We doubled our win total and we tripled our fan attendance. Those are two things we really hang our hat on. Really excited about it. And going into year three, we're looking to have opportunity to contend for a championship. And we have a lot of really, really good players. But when speaking of the new guys, right there from Atlanta, we have down in the Georgia area, we have Josh Linder, who just transferred up here from Georgia State. He's 6'9" forward. I'm really excited about him. Also, we have right here from the state of Tennessee, one of the number one point guard in the state of Tennessee this year, Marcus Fitzgerald. He's a very exciting player, lefty. Really excited to coach him. We have a combo guard named Shaquan Barrett, who's coming from Toronto, Canada. And he's an unbelievable player, person. Started off his career at Tulane, started a bunch of games, and then he played with one of the number one JUCO powerhouses in the country in Northwest Florida. Sitting out last year, we had Mason Green, 6'10 kid. He's from Georgia as well. Played at Mercer University, then played at Georgia Highlands, set out for us this past year, and he's been fantastic since his return. We have a few other guys, but another one that really stands out to me is a 6'10 forward named Shaquan Barrett. I mean, excuse me, 6'10 forward named Yusuf Muhammad. He's can really shoot the ball, can defend, and he's got a chance to be the next pro that comes out of Tennessee State. I mean, we have a lot of guys that have had those aspirations, but it's not many guys with his size, with his length, his ability to handle that came through Tennessee State. So really excited about Yusuf, and we got some other guys too, man. And I'll be on here all day trying to tell you about all of our new guys, but we got a really good group, really good recruiting class.
Now, Penny, has Zoom with the recruiting kind of not being able to get on the road helped you expand your footprint to kind of find more guys that you weren't able to get to for us traveling and helping you guys in that regard, giving virtual campuses of the campus, virtual tours and virtual recruiting? How's that been for you guys in that regard?
It's been a change. It's definitely been a change, but it's equal to playing field in recruiting now. You know, sometimes the guys that we really like, they end up getting snatched up by bigger schools because those schools may have a budget to go see them more or spend more time with them. But since nobody's going out recruiting, now it's all about relationships. And they now the players are making decisions based off who they like and who they want to be around, who could they see themselves around for 4 years or 2 years, whether they were a transfer. And we've been doing a great job with that. We're in the mix with a lot of great players. I feel like that this is an opportunity for us to really make some headway in the recruiting process. It's different, but there's nobody has an advantage right now.
Got a couple more for you, Penny. You know, I both know about how at HBCU level, obviously level, you have to play guaranteed bye games. So with the date being November 25th or December the 4th, and I'm worried about it because I know that football is not there this year for Tennessee State to play right now, and you got to raise money for basketball, and the women's team has to do those as well. And so how are you all trying to go about it knowing that you may not have to get those first 2 weeks to play those by games, raise the money to help everybody around the school for it athletic-wise?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely a change. We don't know what the NCAA is going to come back and say. On November 25th, they could let us know that we could play a schedule as is, which means we would have a couple money games in that November 25th pass date. They may tell us that fend for yourself, get as many games as you can in before your conference games start. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. And nobody does. But when we find out, we'll make those adjustments and, you know, we got to do what we got to do to make sure we bring in some money for our program.
That's when I got for you, Penny. You and getting into year three, Tennessee State, man. Talk about the experience. How's it been, and how have you grown as a head coach since you took over here from coaching in JUCO now to being a head man in D1?
Man, it's just like I said, the first day I got the job, it was a dream come true. You know, to be back home right here. I'm from Nashville, and be back in my own city, at a place that I adored so much growing up, coaching a group of guys that all have a common goal to try to win a championship. And, you know, I feel like every day we're learning. And as they're learning, I'm learning as their head coach. So we're definitely moving in the right direction. I hated that we may not play this season with fans because we had an unbelievable momentum last year. And going into this year, I was really excited about to just kind of blow the record, attendance record, out the water this year. But that probably won't happen. But we want to keep our fans engaged and the people that support Tennessee State. Because I can promise you guys that we stay on the path we're on. We're going to make some major changes, not only for Tennessee State, but for Nashville and the surrounding communities.
Most definitely. I know a lot of alumni down here in Atlanta love what you have going on up there, man. So hopefully you can get down here and play Kennesaw State or Georgia State or Georgia Tech or pay you to come play. And you can see you right here in my backyard or at Mercer and Macon even. And send it down about down the road. We can hopefully get you back down here to play one of these teams here real soon, man.
Well, we got a plan to get to Atlanta. Trust me, we may be down there before you know it. So, look forward to seeing my Atlanta alumni. A lot of people that I came through with are down there in Atlanta now, living and prospering. So, we're gonna get down there and hopefully all those Tiger fans come out and support us.
Most definitely, but folks, it's Penny Collins and the Boss Man Show, the head coach of our TSU Tigers.
Hip hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you 2 discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, illstreetrex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today, True Speech and 313 Fresh, Family Grind ENT. Believe in it, get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our teen driver safety program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, yeah, it's your man, JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down at Clicks Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m., only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.